Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
This is Dante Lee, and you should check out Z, the SEO Queen.
This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO Queen.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google page one? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO Queen.
It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We are broadcast globally on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. So today's show is very interesting. When I was an undergrad at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, I was obsessed. When I tell you I was obsessed with time management. I was obsessed with just maximizing my potential, getting the heck out of MIT with as much knowledge and inspiration and everything as possible. And one of the tools that I used was a planner. So I always had those little, you know, those little cute trapper keeper type things in high school. But when I got to college, I graduated to the Franklin planners. I started using the Franklin planners. And then I read the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of the most salient steps for me was to seek first to understand. And so during my time as an undergrad, Franklin planners became Franklin Covey and merged with that publishing house. And now Franklin Covey is one of the largest leadership and personal professional development companies on the planet. And today, I have a very special guest with me today. He is the Chief Marketing Officer for Franklin Covey. Now, you guys, you have to please favorite this episode because there's going to be a lot of gems dropped today. And you want to be able to come back to this because we're going to talk about this book, Marketing Mess. Scott just wrote this book, Marketing Mess, and it is very, very good. So you definitely want to favorite this episode. And you also want to make sure you hit that feedback button because I want to hear from you. Make sure this feedback button just rolled out less than a month. You know, break it in, send me a message, and you might hear yourself in an episode. So send me that feedback. Holler at your girl. Holler at Z Scott, the SEO queen, at the tech show. And also, as a thank you gift, just go to SEOqueen.com and you can download 101 ways to improve your marketing and sales. And I am super excited. Super, super excited for this episode. So I want to share with you guys capping a 25-year career where he served as a chief marketing officer and executive vice president of business development. Scott Jeffrey Miller currently serves as Franklin Covey's senior advisor on thought leadership, leading the strategy and development of the firm's Speakers Bureau, as well as the publication of podcasts, webcasts, and best-selling books. In addition, Miller hosts the Franklin Covey sponsored On Leadership with Scott Miller, the world's largest and fastest growing leadership podcast, reaching more than 6 million people weekly. Miller authors a leadership column for Inc.com and Utah Business, and previously hosted the weekly iHeartRadio show, Great Life, Great Career. So you can visit marketingmessbook.com to learn how to go from mess to success. And without further ado, how are you, Scott?
I'm awesome. And I'm honored that you are featuring me on your platform today. And thank you for turning your spotlight onto me and my recent book.
Yeah, so I'm definitely intrigued about your journey. So I have to ask you, why marketing? Why not law or medicine or engineering or anything? What drew you to marketing?
Well, unlike you, I didn't go to MIT. So I'm not an engineer, although my brother has a chemical engineering master's degree from MIT. So you and he would get along very well. You know, I was the chief marketing officer for, as you mentioned, Franklin Covey. By the way, I think your opening description of Franklin and Covey was one of the most articulate I've ever heard in terms of knowing about the merger and the product. So thank you for the shout out for the organization. You know, my first book was Management Mess to Leadership Success. That was all about 30 challenges that leaders face. And then so as the chief marketing officer, I wrote a book now about marketing and how marketing and sales can be better aligned. I was a CMO for 7 years, which is about twice the national average for a CMO.
Well, actually, you know what? You said you were the CMO at Franklin Covey for how many years?
For almost 8 years.
Okay, so you survived 4 times longer than the average CMO.
Yeah, well, for public companies, it's at least twice. You're exactly right. I survived and thrived. Thank you for knowing that, because the average tenure is much less than that.
Yeah.
And it's why I wrote the book.
1 to 2 years.
That's right.
Average tenure. Yeah,
exactly right.
Turnover, executive suite, in the C-suite.
You're right. Especially in public companies. And I'm happy to tell you why I did that and how I did that. In essence, the book is the story of how I became a relevant CMO in a turbulent industry, right? With the pandemic and, you know, the global economic depression or recession and such. So I wrote that because I'm passionate, like you, Z, about making marketing super relevant and not hiding behind likes and comments and brand equity.
Oh my God, your philosophy is right in line with mine, because I don't believe in this is a branding activity. What the heck is a branding? It's like, how does this get people down the buyer's journey? That's the bottom line for me.
This is why I wrote the book. I was so exhausted of marketers hiding behind brand equity. You cannot staple brand equity to the back of your bank deposit slip.
Oh my God.
And payroll on it. I absolutely agree. That doesn't mean that brand and brand equity aren't important.
No.
Stop talking about brand equity and start talking about building a pipeline of paying clients that are going to actually put money in the bank for you. That's why marketing exists. Amen.
Exactly. And so, you know, years ago, I did an episode, or was this, no, it was a webinar. I did a webinar about marketing versus sales, where I talked about this very thing. So this is exciting. So I see philosophically, we're on the same point. But me, unlike you, I don't have the patience for corporate politics. So how the heck did you survive 8 years with, you know, all the stuff that comes with that environment?
It's such a relevant question. And I'll tell you, I don't know that I'm an expert marketer. I think I have a marketing background. My education's in marketing. I understand the fundamentals of marketing. But I'll tell you, Z, I spent the first half of my career in sales. actually like with a revenue quarterly goal, delivering it quarter after quarter after quarter. I was a sales vice president leading, you know, dozens of sales people. I had to deliver year after year. And I think it's the sales upbringing that made me so relevant on the marketing side,
right?
Because the CEO saw me as the person who owned the sales goal as much as the president of sales. And I was right there in their boat, rowing with them. Not
that's why you survived.
Fighting. That's how I survived.
That's why you survived 8 years.
That's exactly right.
That's right. To me, that could only be the reason, because
I wanted my tenure.
If you're supporting the sales goal and the company is hitting the sales, if it's not broke, why fix it? That's why you survive.
It's exactly right. I wanted my tenure, my legacy in this book, to make it very clear that I was tired of all the finger pointing between marketing and sales. I mean, it's the CEO's worst nightmare is right. That sales and marketing are always blaming each other.
They're like sister and brother. They need to be getting along. Well, not sister and brother, like cousins.
Yes.
They're all like cousins.
Right. Well said. And you'll find it, those who read my book, I think the book ultimately will be purchased more by sales leaders and given over to marketing leaders and say, listen, no shame, but this is what I need from you. I did not shame marketers, but my attempt, Z, was to make them more relevant, to recognize that the only reason marketing exists is to drive sales. And right. Too many people hide over in marketing because they don't want to own revenue or EBITDA or SG&A or drive profitable growth.
Right.
They've got to develop their business acumen.
But
the thing is
that there's really no excuse for every CMO to tie their activities directly to the bottom line, because there's so many attribution tools. I mean, in terms of technology, there's marketing automation platforms like Marketo, HubSpot, the list goes on and on. Google just rolled out a new thing. There's Orbi. There's so many ways to keep track of the sales activity and how people are coming and how the sale is closing. I mean, there's just no reason, especially if you have the budget and the resources, if you're a multi-million dollar company, there's just literally no reason for less than $1,000 a month that you can track these things. You can all platforms.
You're absolutely right. And the flip side of that conversation, which is also right, is a lot of these tools can give marketing reason to have their own air cover, right? To stay away from driving revenue, because there's a lot of tools that can be used to track a lot of, you know, activity that may or may not be relating and driving pipeline opportunities for sales too. I just think that marketers in general need to be in the boat, rowing in the same direction with sales, make sure all these investments we make at the end of the day are to drive pipeline opportunity and close it.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, the thing about it is like, let's step back. You know, how can a marketing person really have their activities at the core drive conversions? And the only answer I can come up with is really knowing the avatar. It's really knowing the avatar. Isn't that the marketing person's job, to really understand who would buy?
In fact, I actually write about that. You know, Challenge 20 is develop personas in the customer journey. You know, it was Clayton Christensen, who obviously you know from being at MIT and the former late professor at Harvard, that talked about understanding the exact circumstance your client is in. I think there's so much guessing in marketing that goes on, but really as a marketer, your job, to your point, is to understand who are the avatars, who are the people that are buying our products, what are the lookalikes, what is their circumstance, what is their job to be done, what are they hiring us for? And to go after them with, you know, fierce focus and be able to adapt on a dime.
Right.
Because I think too many marketers try to boil the ocean, right? Everyone's our customer. What is the total addressable market? I don't agree with that.
Scott, you preaching right now. You are talking good, because this is so important. It's like understanding who your avatar is. That's like the game changer. It's like if you haven't taking the time to really understand that. And as a CMO, as an entrepreneur, as if you have to be super, super crystal clear. And this is something that I have worked really hard on. And I have found when, since my company and my team really understands who our ideal customer is, we don't even waste our time with people who express interests who we know aren't the ideal.
And this is counterintuitive, right? Because most of us are taught to, you know, the total addressable market. What is the largest viable market for our SBA loan application or our VC funding? But it's Seth Godin, you know, is a good friend of mine. He wrote his book, This Is Marketing. He talks about this, the smallest viable market, right? I mean, you want to quote you, you want to grow your business with the least number of customers necessary, not the most number of customers, so you can grow your business profitably. And it's counterintuitive because it requires it requires marketers to spearfish, not net fish. Because when you throw a net out, you get flounder and grouper, but you also get bicycles and you get, you know, tubas and you get and eels.
Plastic.
Plastic. And you don't want those things. You want to spearfish. But it takes a natural focus. It takes discipline. It takes what you say is spending the time on the front end to get strategic about who is your smallest viable market. Who is your avatar, you call it.
Right.
What is the circumstance they're in? Mm-hmm. And can you address their exact circumstance? So you can't do it once. You have to keep doing it over and over again.
Right.
And can I share a story with you?
It's an ongoing process. I can tell you, even with the SEO Queen, it's like we have our avatars. We have about maybe 3 or 4 avatars, and they still need developing. This is an ongoing thing. And it's not easy, but it's work that has to be done.
Can I share a short story with you?
Yes, go ahead.
In the book, Marketing Mess to Brand Success, I write a story about this. And I say that I live in Utah, and I'm a member of a country club up in Park City. It's where we spend our vacation dollars. We don't go to Europe every year. We have this, you know, and I work hard to fund this country club. And it's a lovely club. Everybody of every race, religion, everyone can come, right?
Nice.
And so I used to live there in the private community, and they were trying to rebrand the community. So the board hired a marketing agency to come in and talk about our rebranding. So they talked about what our avatar was for people who would want to buy a home there. And this marketing company, now Z, you're going to fall off your chair, so buckle up. The marketing company came in to talk about who is the ideal resident to buy a home in this community. And they showed pictures of the French countryside, fields of lavender, and a bicycle with a baguette and a bottle of Bordeaux. And literally, I like pushed my chair away from the table and raised my hand, and everybody went silent, like, oh, you know what? Scott Miller's gonna speak. I raised my hand and I say, first of all, I've never been to the French countryside drinking a bottle of Bordeaux with a baguette, and I live here. What the hell is that? That's not an avatar. That's like a brochure for a summer travel vacation. An avatar is an anesthesiologist who lives in Dallas, and she and her husband have 3 children who want to have a vacation home so they can ski, but live near International Airport. And they also are looking forward to retirement. That's an avatar, right? Go find that anesthesiologist in Dallas that's got $2 million for a ski vacation home that's tired of renting through VRBO. That's an avatar.
Not someone
on the French countryside having wine. But the problem is too many marketers, they bamboozle us with that crazy crap. It's not an avatar. That's a brochure for a vacation. Go find me anesthesiologist. Go find me NFL football players that want to go skiing in the wintertime and they want to rent their home out because they're smart business people and want to put their home in a vacation pool and they're tired of VRB. That's an avatar.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. So what other challenges do marketers have?
You know, the book is called Marketing Mess to Brand Success, 30 Challenges to Build Your Organizations and Your Own Brand. Number 7, bruise hard, heal fast. You know, nobody's got an opinion on accounting second quarter close process. No one's got an opinion on how IT buys cloud services. But everybody's got an opinion on marketing, right? Everybody's the marketer.
Oh my God.
Isn't that true?
Ever.
So you as a marketer, you have to use good judgment and take feedback. But you know what? You got to bruise hard and heal fast. Know when to take the advice, implement it, and know when to just move on to the next thing. Too many marketers, I think, try to win the battle, but lose the war. The war is your influence, your budget, your reputation. The battle is the campaign you're working on right now. Last time I checked, Z, You can only die in your sword once. Right? You can't die more than once. So choose that battle really carefully.
So here's I have a question for marketers who, for what would you say for CEOs who are the you know, entrepreneurs who are the chief marketing officer and the CEO? What would you say to them? Because I think that that applies to a CMO of a bigger organization.
Is your question what happens when the CEO wants to be the CMO, or when someone's
when they're driving the marketing strategy, what challenges would you say that they face? You know, smaller organizations.
Yeah.
Not everybody is publicly traded, and not everybody is, you know, is making, you know, $500 million in revenue a year.
Yeah, or can afford a CMO for that matter, right? Or the CMO maybe has a little team.
Right.
You know, I think I've worked for executives. I've worked for CEOs that were CEO by title, but operationally they were the COO, the CMO, the CFO. They were doing everything. And I think it's tough to work for someone that wants to play all those roles for you. I think when you are the CMO, here's the deal. You got to get clear on your charter.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have a charter. The CEO may not know what to do. Therefore, you've got to have a strategy. Or the CEO may also think she is the CMO, and she may give you your strategy. The point is, you got to have a charter. Either make it yourself or clearly understand it from who you're reporting to.
Right.
So every organization is different. The key is you got to have a charter. And you got to be speaking the same language with the same measures and the same outcomes. And you need to be very clear on what the CEO or the board is requiring from you. Right. I think one of the things that I did, Z, when I left the CEO's office, I left and would always say, now let me understand. You are expecting me and the team I lead to deliver $840,000 from this campaign by the end of February. That's right. I own $840,000. Now it could be $82,000 or $8,400, but I was super clear on what the CEO was requiring from me. Okay, and I have, you know, $80,000 budget to do that in, or I have 45 days to deliver this number of paid registrations. There was no ambiguity. I left nothing to chance. I got super clear. Now, if I thought the goal was ridiculous or overly ambitious, then I would sit down and say, you know what? I'm not comfortable with that expectation. I think that's unrealistic, and I don't want to lie to you and take on that goal. So can we roll up our sleeves and have a working session so that you and I co-own this and I don't come back and underdeliver? Now, that took some credibility. It took some diplomacy. It took some maturity. He knew that I wasn't trying to phone it in. I wasn't trying to negotiate him down because I had credibility from my reputation.
Right.
But I think if you have a charter given to you that's unrealistic, close the door, sit down and say, you know what, can I tell you? I don't want to set you up for failure, and I don't want to be set up for failure. Let's have a brutal conversation around how to make sure that we have aligned goals and that I walk out of here saying, I commit.
Wow. This has been really, really interesting. You have so much, just dropping so many gems. So what else would you, what other challenges would you highlight out of your book?
Thank you for asking. Challenge 10 is called augment your business acumen. Every marketer needs to know how to read a P&L. They need to understand what is the money-making model of their organization. There are five levers: margin, cash, velocity, customers, and growth. And not every lever is the same for every organization. So if you are a marketer, and if you were like me early on, I couldn't read a P&L until I was probably 30. I wasn't an economics major. I was a communication major, right? And I was in sales. You've got to show the humility and the vulnerability to sit down, understand your company's money-making model, understand how to read a P&L, understand cost of goods and EBITDA and SG&A and gross revenue versus gross margin. You got to speak the language of business that your company is in and fiercely understand what kind of profits needed. I think a lot of marketers, like human resource professionals, they're embarrassed and they're too embarrassed to ask. Listen, if your CEO or your CFO is really invested in you, she or he would love to go to lunch, sit down, walk you through the company's money-making model, have you ask every question, including things you might be embarrassed to ask, because the more educated you are as a marketer on the economics of your company, the more you can make wise investments and say no to things and say yes to things. And that requires the leadership to be open to educating you, right? Most CEOs have an MBA or have strong economic experience. VPs of marketing, directors of marketing, they probably came from the creative side, the communication side, the public relations side. And so you got to augment your business acumen. And this is your job, to step to the plate, study it, so you can ask smarter questions in meetings. I think this is good
question. Would a good question for a marketing director or CMO be, what is the highest, what product or service has the highest margin?
Absolutely, right? Who is our ideal customer? How large should that deal be? What is our profit margin? When it comes in under, what happens? What percentage of revenue should we be investing in marketing? All those questions. These are questions that every CEO craves their leader of marketing to ask. Now, in your Fortune 500, obviously these CMOs are well attuned because most of them have strong finance or economic backgrounds. But in smaller boutique firms, don't be afraid to ask. In fact, show the vulnerability to say, I really want to be insatiably curious around how to make this a profitable business. Ding, 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 ding. Secondly, what are the key questions that I should be asking to understand how to drive profit and revenue for this company? Who is the ideal customer? How many customers do we want to acquire this year? Are we in the retention business or are we in the recruitment business? What is our churn rate? Are we in a subscription model? The best marketers, quite frankly, are the ones that can articulate the company's value proposition, not just in a public setting, but in a private financial setting. You should know the economics of your business as well or better than the CFO.
Wow.
This doesn't take 10 meetings, right? Just 12 questions, 1 hour, ask smart questions, then ask the CFO, what questions should I be asking that I'm not asking so I understand the economic engine of our organization versus me just guessing and going out. Say you run marketing for a 4-location beauty salon, right? You need to know, is it extensions? Is it weaves? Is it conditioner? Is it facials? Is it manicures? Because what you may see may be different. It might be manicures upstairs that are cooking at, $28 every 25 minutes. And that, that could out profit a weave or a coloring.
The cost of goods sold and labor costs and everything
else. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
These might seem like elementary questions to senior level marketers, but I think the vast majority of marketers don't have the confidence or they're just unconsciously incompetent, don't know what questions to ask.
So if a marketer or a business person or an entrepreneur wants to know more and learn what other questions that they should be asking so they can take their marketing to the next level of effectiveness and impact, how can they get a hold of your book and how can they connect with you?
Well, you can visit scottjeffreymiller.com. That's my website with all of my blogs and podcasts there. You can buy my books anywhere books are sold. On Amazon, the book is actually number one right now in the small business space on digital. The book is Marketing Mess to Brand Success. There's a whole 10-volume series coming out over the next 10 years. The next book is Job Mess to Career Success, followed by Communication Mess to Influence Success, and 6 more. Z, I like you. You and I are aligned. I think we should collaborate more.
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree. And when I do my conference next year, the second, I would love for you to be a speaker on the main stage.
I would be honored.
Thank you, love that. I mean, the Reach More Clients Power Conference, I really wanted to create a space to hold space for business people to work on their business and not in their business. And, it's so hard to take that time to work on your business. You know how it gets. When you're in the thick of things, you're just constantly just working on, one campaign after the next. True. But it's important to step back and look at, okay, what are our long-term goals? What do we need to do to reach those? This year, we're going to have certification experts talking about all the certifications needed to acquire a national, state, and local government contracts, in addition to organic social media marketing, search engine optimization, and so much more. We have the 30th largest Facebook group owner and founder. He's going to be on the platform, Calvin Martyr. We have Marquell Russell, who has driven over $250,000 in revenue for his clients, his coaches. And he was featured in Black Enterprise. And so we have a lot of great people coming to the stage. And hopefully in 2022, Mr. Randall will be joining the main stage of the Reach More Clients Power Conference next year. Hint, hint, if you're listening, I'm talking to you, Mr. Randall. And this conference, I'm so excited. So before we go, can you give me three tips that business professional, CMO, marketing director, entrepreneur can do to reach a greater level of marketing effectiveness?
Don't assume that you know your client's circumstance. Ask them, because you might be calling it leadership, they're calling it productivity. They might be calling it growth and you think that's retention. Make sure you're speaking the language of your business. Speak the language of your customer's business. Second, I think it's important that you be very clear that your clients can find themselves in your message. Stop writing about how much money you spend on R&D and why your grandfather brought his recipe over from Sicily 40 years ago. Your clients don't care. They want to be able to see themselves in your message. If they can't find themselves in your message, then your message is useless. Nobody cares about your mission. They don't care about why you founded their company. They care, can you solve their problems? And then lastly, I think great marketers, great entrepreneurs are obsessed with focusing on their client. It's all about the customer. It's not about you and your mission and your revenue and your growth. It's about your customer's mission. So resist the temptation to have the majority of your meetings talk about your systems and your processes and your mission. You gotta talk about your customers. The best salespeople are not the people who know their quarterly goal. It's the salespeople who know their client's quarterly goal, because then their mindset is fiercely focused on helping their clients meet their second quarter. Because if they meet their second quarter, then you will meet your second quarter. If what your focus is on is just meeting your second quarter, you won't have clients 2 years from now.
Wow. Well,
thank
Scott,
you, Z.
That was awesome. You know, you got to favorite this episode. You're going to come back to this, take notes, get the book, go on Amazon, download the book. Make sure you follow Scott on Amazon Authors, because he's going to be dropping more books. I'm looking at, you guys can't see this, but I'm looking at his background. I see Marketing Mess to Business Success. I see Management Mess to Leadership Success. He has a lot of great books coming out. You definitely want to stay connected, because he, just like Fraser Hay, is definitely dropping some powerful insight to move your business forward, and you definitely want to take his advice to the bank. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, and until next time.
It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Completely redesigned Bashani Radio app is hotter than ever.
Ever.
Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store, or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.